the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, May 11th, 2020. And Casey, it seems like we actually have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's some like real NBA things happening. And it's not just the drama around Michael Jordan and his documentary series. And it's not just, you know, the season restarting again. It's once again how we have to fire Reggie Miller into the sun for being a terrible actor.
Oh, wait. He's not the only one I would fire into the sun.
There's a couple.
But we actually do have some news. They didn't just announce that the Lakers won the championship, right?
No, that was that's in our dreams. I had that dream too, and it was pretty good.
They didn't just by default be like, well, it seemed like they were going to win, so they just win.
Exactly. I mean, they give it to the team with the people on it who have actually won a championship, like the Lakers, instead of the, you know, a team like Milwaukee who had a better record, but, you know, didn't really do anything. You know, in isolation, I found that it's much better to just troll everybody with terrible opinions than to like actually interact with people.
You know what? That's true outside of isolation.
I know. We're two peas in a pod over here.
As Fiona Apple would say, I climb like peas and beans.
Oh, wow. That's Fiona Apple.
I did a second listen through of her new album, Fetch the Bolt Cutters, yesterday. Have you heard this album yet?
I have been unable to bring myself to listen to Fetch the Bolt Cutters emotionally yet. I have a specific reason for that.
Because your great uncle was killed by bolt cutters.
No, because the week that that record was released, my storage locker got broken into and I had a bunch of stuff stolen from me. This is absolutely true.
Oh, no.
Yeah, definitely a bummer there. Bolt cutters. They used bolt cutters to get through the fence, and then they used bolt cutters to cut through the bolt that held the lock storage unit that I rent. So, you know, goodbye to my old. They took a bicycle. They took a PS2, a PS1, just a bunch of old like gaming accessories, and they took a shelving unit.
Does the storage place inform you of this?
Yeah, they called me up during the pandemic. It was like, actually, your thing got broken into. And then they're like, yeah, you can make a claim through your insurance. And of course, the deductible on the insurance is like very high. You know, there's no way they're going to catch these guys. They're just like, well, and your rent's going up. So really win-win kind of a situation for
here's the surveillance tape of when that happened.
I did get to watch the surveillance tape because the guy there felt really bad for me. But normally they don't let you. So
And was that interesting or creepy?
I just watched it's not like the camera's any good. It's not like it's like, oh, we got HD footage of these guys going in with a steady cam behind them. You know, they just like, there's two dudes cutting into my storage locker, opening it up, and then being extremely disappointed at the terrible crap I had inside.
Also, did they go to the next one then and do it to the next one?
Or? They went to some other ones on the site.
Okay. Well,
Fiona Apple, very poor taste for her to do that, directly the week after I got my stuff broken into. You know,
I'll just let you know that like the third track on the album is I'm going to rob Casey Lawrence's locker.
You know, actually,
so that might be relevant.
The person who broke into it was wearing a shirt that said, I've been a bad, bad girl.
And he's a criminal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. The album is very difficult to listen to anyway, even if you don't have any life situation. It's really hard to listen to. The first song on the album is almost like daring you to listen to the rest of the album because it's so unpleasant. It's unpleasant. And I don't mean like emotional content. I just mean musically. It's very unpleasant.
Fiona Apple, I do not accept your dare. I will not listen to your album until I am emotionally recovered from the theft of about $150 worth of old electronics and one bicycle that I was going to give away anyways.
Oh, man. So wait, what's the actual NBA news is they actually talked a little bit about resuming or not resuming the season. Is that right?
Yeah. So there was a meeting between the Players Association and the commissioner that was attended also by the head of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts, where there was kind of a back and forth with questions about what's going to happen or what could happen or what, you know, what the plan is. And it seemed like it was a really positive conversation from all the recaps that I read about it, in that the players believe that Adam Silver was just telling them the truth and that he didn't have all the answers, you know, because nobody has all the answers right now. Mm-hmm. But that he was there to answer questions, to be honest with them and to let them know like, hey, this is going to be hard, but we want to eventually try to figure out what we're going to do because, you know, they're going to try to do what they can to play the games that they could. They talked a lot about, you know, the two bubble sites, Las Vegas, Orlando, you know, what it would take to actually have a bubble. There's a lot of variables and ups and downs. And, you know, I think they were clear about how it's just not something that they can know for certain what's going to happen or how it's going to happen.
Right. I mean, that seems about as straightforward as you can be.
Yep.
'Cause we really don't have any idea what's going on.
No, nothing.
I think we're in a little stage right now where I think a lot of us that are more science minded are like, hey, this, a lot of things happening right now seem like a bad idea.
Yeah.
But in a way, like if we're wrong, like cool, you know, like, haha, on us. We're dumb if we're wrong.
I would be so happy to be wrong right now. So happy to be wrong right now. But, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. And the scientists aren't wrong. And that's the real problem of the situation.
Yeah. By the way, last night we almost drove, I considered driving to Hermosa Beach.
Oh, land of my hometown to watch that bioluminescence.
Yes. We actually drove to Malibu.
Okay.
Because I knew how to get to the place where we could see water. Cause we'd literally been to Malibu like on Friday.
Yeah.
Right now in Southern California, the ocean. So last Friday when we drove through Malibu, Eric and I were both like, man, the water looks really red.
Yep.
Like it looks gross. And it's because there's a lot of plankton in it. And yep. At night that plankton releases energy as bioluminescence.
Uh-huh.
But what I didn't know was that, there's a limit to how much bioluminescence it releases. So basically it's stored up, I guess it's stored up energy is what I was told, maybe from the sun or from the heat.
Okay.
And that's released through motion, but by 10 PM at night, that's gone.
So you guys drove out there with all the bioluminescence already expired. It was like you had watched a glow in the dark sticker after the light had already been off for an hour.
Exactly. And by the way, parking was a nightmare. Lots of people had the same idea.
There are only two things to do in the entire country right now. And one of them is go watch the bioluminescence. And let me just tell you, as somebody who, is very spoiled in his life for the amount of time that he lived directly next to the beach.
Yes.
I could give a half a shit about the bioluminescence.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's like, this is a me problem. This is not a you problem because the bioluminescence is objectively awesome. Right.
Right.
But like I grew up two blocks from the beach when I was a kid. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm beached out in a lot of ways. And my girlfriend is flipping me off right now, hearing me talk about being beached out. What a horrible privilege. What just awful, awful, room. What an awful thing for me to say, in this time of everybody being stuck in their house, but I don't want to go to the beach.
Well, also how many times have you seen the bioluminescence?
Enough to know that it's just the water turning to colors.
Well, I guess what I mean is like, you've heard about this many times in your life, I guess.
Yes. Yes, I have.
So like does this happen every year? Cause I've never heard of it before.
No, it doesn't happen every year, but it does happen more often than, people think, especially because now in the age of social media and everybody putting bioluminescence on their Instagram stories, because it's the only thing that anyone can do right now.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, yeah. The sea sometimes has extra stuff in it, and this is how it goes. And I'm
please don't use such scientific language.
Listen, this phenomenon. Earlier on the podcast, I described how I'm pessimistic because I believe in science, and that's the kind of science I believe in. There's stuff in the water.
Yeah, I think I read that in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Yes, there's stuff.
The ocean has stuff in it.
Yes, I think that's the plot to They Live.
So no real concrete details about restarting. I'm actually surprised that they even discussed resuming this season as a possibility, as opposed to like postponing the next season.
Yeah,
I honestly, this season's not getting resumed.
I don't know why. Like, why not just take a year break in the middle of the season? Like, that's something that I haven't heard anybody float. Right.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, we're taking a year break. It's not that like they'd have to deal with the Players Association and salaries and like all that kind of stuff. But why not just like, instead of canceling this season and saying all this progress is already fucked up, just say, hey, we don't know when it's going to be safe to resume again. So why don't we like talk about the option of resuming at this point in the season next year? Like, right. I'm not saying that that's the best option. I just haven't heard anyone talk about it that way.
I would shoot for January. Just restart in January and do a shortened 2021 season. And then, which is similar to what you're saying, the main thing is like, how do you negotiate what prorated salary do players get? I'm sure the players just want to get their full salaries, but also the teams have no revenue right now.
Yeah. What you said is not exactly what I was saying. You're saying you want like a shorter season. What I'm saying is that literally just pause this season.
Oh, you mean like, start with the same records?
Yes, correct.
Oh, right. Yeah, actually, I'm fine with that too.
Like, and I really haven't heard anybody talking about that because, the amount of like working with the Players Association to deal with the money that would be owed to players in this kind of scenario is large. That's a large thing to deal with. But if they're going to, talk about like, okay, maybe we'll have just the playoffs this year or, not be able to start next year until around this time anyways. Like, why not float the idea? Why not start talking about what it would take to combine this year and next year into one season?
Because that's actually my favorite idea that I've heard so far.
Oh, man. Because I'm back to being a good science guy. I'm back to being smart and good at science.
Well, because I also like how weird that idea is.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a weird idea.
It is.
The idea of having this, like, basically having a 2019 to 2021 season.
Yeah, right? Isn't that, I don't know. I mean, I feel like my general thought about this is, like, why can't we just pause everything? Like, yes, there's a lot of work into figuring out what that means and how it works for everybody and everything, but the idea of just like putting everything on pause has not been talked about enough.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is that you already have the rest of the schedule figured out.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rest of the season, it's already planned.
Yes.
So you just, you have a handful of games you need to reschedule, I believe.
Yes.
Beyond that, I don't know. Like what, this seems like a great idea.
Obviously it does not make up for the revenue lost of that like lost season, and if you can start earlier, then you have more games that you're like, well, we're just giving up on those games. But maybe you add those games in, right? You like, as soon as you're ready, maybe there's 100 game 2019 to 2021 season. There's a point that you can start early, just make everything that happened this season already continue to have happened, and then apply it to whatever the rest of the season that we could get next year. If you want to not do just like, oh, everybody only has 19 games in the season. Just like, I don't think that we have to just like delete this season and say everything's canceled. There's definitely a way to be like, hey, we're going to like patch this all together. I believe in the ability to build, vote for me for NBA president forever.
I think that, so here's my question for you. This, whatever this break is, whether we're resuming or whatever, do you think this break is better for young players or old players?
Ooh, you mean like old? Okay, so I think there's good things for both, right? Rest is good for both young and old players.
Yes.
But it might be more beneficial for old players. It might be more beneficial for old players to be more fully rested. Mm-hmm. However, young players, they might be older, and the older you are, sometimes the better you get at basketball, as referenced by, you know, the automatic progression of every player in the league, right?
One of my favorite things is that everyone gets 7% better every year.
Exactly. So if those young players are getting 7% better, and every person who is old is getting 7% worse, or maybe even sometimes 50% worse in the case of that kind of thing, you know, there's options.
Yeah. Actually, who were the injured players that this benefits? Because weren't there, you know, people that were like, oh, they're like John Wall, for example.
Good for John Wall.
Good for Klay Thompson.
Good for Klay Thompson. Some discussion on whether or not it'd be good for Kevin Durant.
It's very good for Kevin Durant.
You know who it's fantastic for? It's the Sixers. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Like, the Sixers were pretty beat up.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a good thing for them.
You know, I actually think it's very good for Kevin Durant because arguably, if 2019-2020 is essentially canceled, if they put together, like, I wonder if it's canceled, right? Will they still have like a free agency period next February? Like, you know, if Brooklyn was able to assemble add a few more pieces, it's not inconceivable that in 2021 that Kevin Durant could go to the finals with Kyrie Irving,
ooh,
win a championship, you know, like, and basically avenge, like, basically get a whole bunch of time off and then go back to the finals.
Like, you know, that is a wild thing that could happen in my very good dream scenario.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for the Nets, and it's no coincidence that I am wearing a Brooklyn Darren Williams jersey as we speak.
Darren
right now.
Williams, the original, I don't know what. I don't know what he's the original of.
He's the original Brooklyn Net. That's what he is.
That's right. Should we talk? Is there any other news we should talk about before we jump into our movie of the week?
I don't think so. Not that I can think of NBA wise. Feeling pretty good about this like positive talk that the players have been having, and all the other news is just like people reacting to Michael Jordan gifts, and it's
In fact, whenever you see something trending, like Steve Kerr was trending last night.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they talked about him punching him or something. That's what I gathered.
Okay.
People will randomly trend on Twitter, and it's because of the Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, I should say. Steve Kerr was not mentioned in the Michael Jackson documentary that I watched.
No, not quite.
No. Now, I will say that I watched a different 30 for 30. That's not a 30, but I watched a different ESPN documentary yesterday. That was very, very interesting.
Ooh,
I don't know
which
if you've
one?
Seen it. It's about this guy named Uncle Drew, who was used to be, well, it's according to Dikembe Mutombo, to be honest, I didn't really understand what he was saying because he wasn't subtitled.
Yes, yeah. That's a good point.
But it was a very interesting documentary. It was a little longer than most of the ESPN documentaries.
Had a little bit too much Aaron Gordon, because Aaron Gordon is not significant enough to be put in any real documentary.
Yes. So we watched Uncle Drew for our movie of the week.
Longtime listeners of the podcast will know that I have already seen Uncle Drew.
Yes.
And we did an Uncle Drew review in New York, the only podcast that we've ever recorded when we've both been in the same city outside of Los Angeles.
That's right.
On that one.
We do that in a capsule hotel,
yeah,
in New York City.
It was very cool.
Okay, so Uncle Drew. First of all, it's a very different movie than I thought it was.
Okay.
I remember last week I was like, oh, Lil Rel's in this.
Yes, he is.
It's like, oh, Lil Rel's the protagonist of this movie.
Yeah, this is a Lil Rel Howery movie.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I am someone who watched the entirety of Lil Rel's short-lived sitcom on Fox. Rel. Watched every episode. I really liked that dumb little show. Like, it was just a good little like hit of 90s sitcom mediocrity that I was very happy to experience while I was watching it.
I highly recommend Lil Rel's HBO stand-up special.
I will watch that because I like everything he's been in.
It is terrific. It is directed by Gerard Carmichael.
Oh, yeah. Great. I mean, because you watched the Carmichael show?
Yes, I have watched the Carmichael show. Because
he's great on the Carmichael show.
Yeah. It is his stand-up special is one of the most aesthetically pleasing stand-up specials I've seen in a while. Shot on film, shot in a school giant hangar gymnasium thing in I forget which neighborhood in LA. It's either I want to say it's Watts maybe, with audience on both sides.
Okay,
and the only like lighting really is the sun.
Oh.
And the sun like sets during the stand-up special. It's very beautiful.
So he's doing stand-up comedy in the round?
Kind of, yeah. It's really interesting. It's a really good special.
Oh, okay.
So Lil Rel, I love. I think he's great in the All-Star Celebrity Games. and I think he's very good in this movie. I was very happy that he had a lot to do in this movie.
Yeah.
So I thought this movie was pretty good.
It's so much better than it has any right to be for being literally a glorified Pepsi commercial.
Yes.
And having most of its characters not be actors that are good.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? It's that it's good enough. It's better than it should be, but then it's good enough that it starts me thinking about how it could have been so much better.
Yes, that is
the problem.
That's a really good point. It could have been a lot better if you know they could have cast. In my opinion, they were going to have Shaq in that movie no matter what. Right? There's no way you're cutting Shaq from that movie.
Yeah,
I think Shaq was not great, but you know he's in it.
I thought he's fine.
He's fine. He's Shaq. We're not getting away from Shaq. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
Reggie Miller does not know how to act at all.
Uh-huh.
Reggie Miller is the worst thing about this movie.
Is he the worst thing about the movie? Yeah, maybe he is.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon's up there.
Aaron Gordon can't act, but he's not trying to act, right? Aaron Gordon isn't like – he's just being like a dumb guy who's good
at
basketball.
You're right. Reggie Miller is like you're doing a play in high school and there's an old grandfather and somebody's like, well, my dad could be in it. And your dad is like this really eager performer.
Oh, my God. Like,
he's trying a lot.
Oh, God. I mean, that's the quintessential Reggie Miller persona is just trying too hard. And, you know, he was good at basketball. I'm not going to sit here and say Reggie Miller wasn't good. He's so bad in this movie. Nate Robinson, also, they don't give him a lot to do. Like, if they had put Reggie Miller in Nate Robinson's, like, character role, I think it would have been a better movie because we wouldn't have heard Reggie Miller speak because he can't speak in any tone other than, I'm Reggie Miller.
Right. One interesting thing about Nate Robinson is he's always seemed vaguely Asian to me. And he played a vaguely Asian. Is he part Asian?
Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's Filipino.
And he played like a kind of, he had an Asian quality to his persona in this.
Yeah. Like the silent, I believe he is 1/8 Filipino. His great, great grandfather on his maternal side is what he claims.
I saw it from a mile away.
There you go.
Although I also thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt was Asian and he's not.
Oh, well, is that just because of how he wore his hair in Third Rock from the Sun?
No, I don't know what it is. Probably his eyes. It's probably my main clue. Got which it. Is wrong. Yes. And by the way, we would love to give Dean Cain back to white people.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Feel free to have Dean Cain. None of us care if we claim him as Asian.
Yeah.
So this movie is about Lil Rel basically. Reuniting the Blues Brothers. This is a very similar movie to the Blues Brothers.
Yes, it absolutely is.
It's basically getting the band back together.
Uh-huh.
going around, picking them up, and then winning the Rucker Championship. So I think Lil Rel's great. I think Kyrie Irving's pretty good. I think the main thing that, like, I wish was different about this movie was that, and I don't know how to solve this, because the central conceit is that they're all playing old versions of themselves. But because of that and the makeup, it's kind of muting almost like all of their charm, their natural charm. Like, I think I complained about Space Jam, where, like, my favorite scene in Space Jam was at the end when they just got to kind of banter
yes.
a little bit as themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
And I feel like the characters and the makeup really limited that in this. So it seems like I almost would rather see I just want to see those people hang out, you know,
yeah.
and play basketball.
Yes.
I will say the standout actor of this movie.
I know exactly who you're going to say.
Which it's, really shocked me.
It's Chris Webber.
Chris Webber by a million miles.
He is a very good actor. And can I mean, you know, I think this is what I said last time, but you can tell, you can absolutely tell that Chris Webber's favorite movie is Coming to America.
And
that his,
yeah.
that his favorite character was the pastor, and that he was right. just so down to just do his impression of Eddie Murphy and do his impression of Arsenio Hall and just like get that in that mode to just be like, you know, I am loving this. I love this. I can do this. I'm in my spot. Chris Webber he made me smile so much in this movie because they give him emotional beats. They give him funny physical beats. They give him, like, when he's like rolling that fake baby around him, like, that's just yeah. so silly. It's so silly. And the, like, the banter between Lil Rel and Kyrie Irving, or Uncle Drew in that time is like, it's funny. It's loose. It's natural. It felt to me like this movie, you know, due to Lil Rel's impressive ability to riff and have an improvised set of lines, really led them to have some good stuff that they could cut this movie together with.
Yes. I really hope someone is telling Chris Webber, like, he should genuinely be an actor. And he's completely castable just as an actor based on his acting skills. Like, he's
yeah.
very good. He's very funny. He knows how to, he's funny in the right way. Like, he's funny yeah. in the pocket as a comic actor, as opposed to I'm a celebrity and I'm making fun of myself or whatever, which is sort of where Shaq is, you know.
Yes.
Shaq's kind of always himself and funny. I mean, I didn't recognize Chris Webber for a while.
Oh.
And to be honest, in this movie he really resembles Josh Brolin more than anybody.
That's such a good call.
He has Josh Brolin hair, he has the chin. So for a while I was like, who is this? And it kind of wasn't until, it's funny, he's kind of hunched over in yeah. a way. And he, at Michigan, he would hunch over in that way sometimes when he'd dunk.
Yes.
He'd have a really good play and he'd walk back kind of like hunched over uh-huh. with his like jaw jutted out.
Yes.
And that's why I recognized him. But he's very good in this movie. Nick Kroll was whatever. He was fine.
I mean, I'm a huge Nick Kroll fan.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing him do the one of his Nick Kroll characters, which is like,
yeah.
you know, the like, I'm a white guy, but I'm also a black guy.
Right.
The Nick, that's like a character of his.
Yeah.
It was very funny to me because that's like, it hits my bones right there.
I feel like I wanted his referee character more. But
yeah.
doesn't really have a place in this movie.
Would not have fit super well. We need to talk about Kyrie Irving's acting.
Uh-huh.
Kyrie Irving's acting leans just to the point of too much on this is my acting voice.
Yes.
Like that's the one critique I have of it, because he's not an actor, but he does fine enough. You get so sick and tired of him and that voice saying young blood over and over and over again.
That to me is one of the limitations of these characters, is that they all had to speak an old man voice. Chris Webber, but even Chris Webber and Shaq, they just felt limited in their expressiveness because they kept having to be like, I talk like this. Now
yeah.
I talk like if you spend any amount of time talking in this part of your voice, you're not going to be that expressive.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So I thought he was fine. I thought, I think it's weird, actually, that Kyrie Irving is the one. I think I thought this about the Josh Lucas movie too, that the kind of basketball he's playing is not old man basketball. So it's like, you should play the right way. It's like, well, none of the stuff you're doing is what, like, Wes Unseld would tell us to do, you know?
Oh no. Hey, now hang on a sec. The right way to play is always just making sure not to pass to Shaq. Yeah. That's the only thing you can do.
I wonder why, okay, wait. So Shaq's not in the last game mostly to get Lisa Leslie into the game, I guess.
Yes.
But I also wonder if there's like a, scheduling thing.
there probably was. Shaq's on call at all times for two things. One of them is the general car the insurance general commercials.
Yes.
And the other one is gator arrests in Florida where he's a sheriff.
That's right.
So it was probably a real gator infestation in Florida.
I think the quality, the basketball in this is okay. It's that staged basketball that I still think White Man Can Jump has the best version of.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that's I was struggling with is, in a way, this isn't as fun as the original Pepsi Uncle Drew commercials to me.
No, you're correct about that.
And even those, which may have been staged or not, they felt at least a little bit like they were surprising people.
Yes.
With this guy's really good. And that's not in this movie, really. Like, I kind of wish they had taken a almost like Jackass or Uncle, was that like
Bad Grandpa or whatever? Bad Grandpa, which is a very good movie.
I wish they had taken almost that approach of like some of the Uncle Drew segments being like, let's actually go and do it for real. Although at this point, you probably can't fool a lot of people with Uncle Drew.
No.
But you know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to have some real examples of people kind of dissing him and then him playing well.
Yeah.
I wanted, like when they play the Trojans, the South Carolina Trojans in this game.
Yes. Yeah.
This is what I thought. This in the final game in the Rucker tournament. What if you said, okay, guys, today we're going to shoot 2 days on this game. Today we're going to shoot, we're going to light it for the way the final game is supposed to look, or this Trojans game on a like pickup court or whatever. We're going to light it, and you guys are just going to play the game. We're not going to put any score on the scoreboard. We're going to digitally put in the score we need at whatever point later. So today we're just going to shoot. You guys play whatever you want. Like, let's play real basketball. Try to do whatever crazy moves you want to do, because there's multiple points in both the storylines where they miss shots and make shots. So we'll use these clips however best to tell the story, but I want to see, like, play for real, right? And then day two, we'll come and do all the pickups. We'll decide what we're going to use, and we're going to do all the pickups of like, oh, we need to get a close-up of you dunking that one dunk or whatever. And we can set those up so that we get them right. But I wanted more spontaneity in the play to just have it feel a little more like, oh, it's really amazing that these guys are doing these things.
Yeah. I feel like I remember reading an article about how Nick Kroll like actually played basketball like with them. Like part of the stuff that they did shoot was them just playing basketball a little bit.
Okay.
And that cool. He like guarded Kyrie Irving a little bit and was of course not good at it, but like good enough for the cameras.
I think that might be in the bloopers at the end. Cause he did score a layup on Kyrie, and that seemed, maybe it was real.
Yeah. And like, you know, can't put that in the movie. Cause you know, how dare Nick Kroll score on Uncle Drew? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of like a D1 player scoring a layup over Kyrie, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, that's fair.
That's not that insane an idea. I want to throw some stats at you.
Okay. All right.
This is the percentage, field goal percentage by a player in the league. Let me just double one check one there. Okay. Field goal percentage by a player in the league, shots from 16 feet to 3-point line.
Okay.
Over the last 6 years. Okay. They are 30.8%.
Okay.
33.8%, 31.9%, 27.3%, 34.0%, and last year so far, 16.1% from what I would say is mid-range jumper area.
And we're saying
career total of 29.4% is his shooting percentage.
Okay, so that's a person that is a basketball player, and I have to guess who he is?
No, I'm just telling you this because there were too many shots of Aaron Gordon making jumpers in this movie.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost Man, he's got to make those mid-range shots because he disappears when he goes up beyond the three-point line.
You know, show all the dunks from Aaron Gordon that you want, and I'll believe it.
Okay.
Show a turnaround mid-range jumper? Nope.
You know, NBA players have their own egos, and
yes,
I guess we've run into Aaron Gordon's, which I guess the thing he wants everyone to know is that he is a guy who can do shots. He can take shots and make shots, and that's just not true, but he wants people to think that.
You know who someone who is comfortable with, I think, with his ego is Chris Webber.
Chris Webber.
They put in a little timeout joke.
Yes, they did. And that was, I'll bet you laughed out loud at that timeout joke.
I didn't laugh out loud, but I appreciated it.
Okay, that's good.
What did I?
They could have cut
Evolving one rel that I liked.
Oh,
they could have cut what?
They could have cut one thing from this movie, which was obviously filler, and that was the dance scene.
Yes.
And you know, they didn't have to do that. They did it. It happened. Movies are going to have filler, you know, to reach a certain point. But that dance scene added nothing to the plot, and it was just very silly to watch Chris Webber and Shaq pretend to dance in the back.
Well, the thing is that I've seen Shaq do the windmill, famously early in his career, and he didn't do it in this, and it's like, oh, I wanted him to.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two. One cool thing about this movie and one thing that I thought was problematic.
Okay.
The cool thing is that I was like, who directed this? It seems well directed. This movie was sort of successful, right?
Yes, it was successful.
And is there going to be a sequel, hopefully?
I don't believe there is one in the works.
I mean, what are they doing now? They got nothing to do?
I mean, no one's doing anything and no one can do anything. But
you could shoot from 6 feet away.
That's fair.
So what I was excited to realize, so I looked up the director and I was like, who is this guy that directed this? He directed Drumline.
Oh.
But watching the bloopers, I was like, that's who that guy is. So in the bloopers, there's a shot where Kyrie and Lil Rel are in the van driving and it's green screened. And there's outside the window, there's like, you know, traffic lights going by and stuff. And then the director... Yeah. kind of reaches into the window to make an adjustment.
To tell Kyrie to pretend to drive.
Yes. Is it because he wasn't driving at all?
Yes, correct. Yeah, he just didn't have his hands on the wheel. He was in the car.
So when that guy popped his head up, and did you recognize who it was?
I mean, I did not recognize who it was.
And so you don't know who the director is or where he's from?
I mean, I don't know him, correct. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of him on the internet right now, but I don't know why... what's happening here?
Okay. His name is Charles Stone III. He is from the What's Up commercials.
No so shit. He, really?
So those started as like a short film he had made. And then Budweiser bought the idea and then it became the ad campaign. But originally you can find on YouTube, I think the original short film, which is just him and his buddies just calling each other and going, "What's up?" That's it. There's no like, you know, Budweiser element to the original film.
That's so funny.
So I'm very happy for him for like turning that little thing into a full career. That's pretty incredible.
That's so funny.
Now my problematic thing is that they fridged a girl in this movie.
Fridged. Oh, what's that? What is it? Remind me of what fridging a girl is.
Okay. Fridging a girl is when it's from some movie where like a girl was murdered and put into a refrigerator, but it's basically the idea of using a character that's a woman solely as a plot point to drive plot narrative for men.
Yes. Okay.
So in this one, they have like basically used a dead girlfriend slash wife slash lover.
Yes.
As like this plot point between Shaq and Kyrie.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. 100%.
And that is like almost the definition of fridging, because like the woman has no presence in the movie whatsoever. No agency, is literally just there for two guys to argue about.
Yep.
And that I did not appreciate. I would like people to stop doing that. Also because actually, sorry to interrupt. Here's why I find it. I do find it like, I don't like it from the perspective of women being in movies and having agency and all that kind of stuff. But I also just don't care. Like I don't care about that fake dead lady character.
You heard it here on the podcast. Chris Grace does not care about women.
Yeah. I feel that's when I pull back from a movie, because I'm like, oh, this is just some dumb thing that you think is emotionally interesting, and it's not, because this lady never existed. She's just a foam headstone in a fake grave, you know.
That two
non-actors are moaning about.
I think having an emotional rift between them that is just between them would have worked much better in this movie. You are 100% right about that.
Especially because I also thought it was a little tawdry, them standing over her grave and being like, I can't believe you slept with her. You know, it's like, that's the relevance this woman has to both of you, is like whether or not she's had sex with one of, you know, like that just seems very, that seemed gross to me.
And it didn't, there was a little bit from the Uncle Drew character about how he wishes that he had handled his life differently. Mm-hmm. And instead of pulling away from everyone, like reconnecting earlier and being like present in people's lives. But they didn't acknowledge that at all in the like reconnection between the big fella and Uncle Drew in that scene. Like it was fridging, and then it was fridging that they barely even plugged the fridge in.
Right. And then I have one more question for you. In the final game in the Rucker, Aaron Gordon's like dominating for the first half.
Yes.
I might have missed it, but was there some reason why they stopped dominating?
I think in the second half, they drank Michael's special sauce.
That's right.
It was a momentum thing. They just stopped dominating. They came out in the second half and decided to play better and played a little better. There was not like an in-game reason for it. They didn't play as well. The one team didn't play as well and the other team played better. There was not like a thing.
Yeah, so I felt like I had missed something, because I was like, okay, now it's just all shots of Aaron Gordon accurately missing jump shots.
Okay, so the movie gets more accurate and you decide to yell about it.
No, I just thought almost from a – it's actually unusual in sports movies for the game to just be like, and now the other team starts winning. Like there's no like tactical scene or substitution or – pep talk. It's just like, oh, now they're missing and we're catching up was kind of what happened.
I mean, I think, you know, what I got from that was that they were playing harder and they were passing the ball better, and like that the Harlem no longer money, Harlem buckets were playing better because they were connected to each other a little better after halftime.
Now, all that said, I agree with you that this is better than because what I think what I thought and what people thought this movie was going to be was like the equivalent of like a Pepsi interstitial Facebook video, like that level of quality. And actually there wasn't that much Pepsi in it. I was surprised.
There was not that much, but there was a little bit. And there was, it was funny. There was one line that I remember where I think they said like five Pepsi sponsors in one line, just like get it all out. And it was like a kind of a joke about sponsorship. And I thought that that worked pretty well. And I don't know, Shaq walked with his naked ass in front of like an entire row of vending machines at the hospital. I thought that was pretty outrageous. And all the other product placement seemed pretty normal, you know, in like, you know, hey, we're at a gas station, or hey, there's branding and sponsorship at the Rucker, you know.
At the Rucker. Yeah. Oberto, I noticed, was a prominent sponsor.
Yeah.
They make like pepperoni or something like that.
Yeah. Part of the Frito-Lay Corporation branding experience.
Yeah.
I think.
All in all, I'm very glad that we watched this movie.
Me too. Yeah, hell yeah.
I don't think I'll watch it again.
You know, I will say, watching it again after having watched it over a year ago, very happy to revisit it. I think it was cool. an incredibly fun movie to revisit. I had a really good time watching it. The jokes are good. The movie's good. Hell yeah.
Honestly, I think the huge MVPs to make this movie watchable is, first of all, is Lil Rel.
Yes.
Because he drives the entire movie and everybody is reacting to him the whole time.
Yes.
I don't think this movie works at all without Lil Rel in it.
No, he's by far the MVP.
And then sixth man off the bench is Chris Webber.
Of course.
He was terrific. And everybody else was fine. Tiffany Haddish, a little underused, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like she had like 4 days she could film on the movie.
Right.
They did them all back to back. And yeah, I mean, it almost feels like they kind of like put her in there like as a late addition in the script because of how well she and Lil Rel work together and like all of the projects that they do together.
Oh, by the way, I thought LeBron was going to be in this movie.
Oh.
But he's in one of the team photos early in the movie.
Oh.
He's in one of the photos that's like, you know, when Drew whatever was in the 30 for 30 part.
Interesting. That's fun. That's that's when he's got the ham sandwich in his left hand.
Yeah, it's in that sequence. There's a shot of like a team shot. I could have sworn one of them was LeBron, maybe not.
Yeah.
So anyway, great movie pick.
Yeah.
Do you have one for next time?
Let's see. I have been thinking about this a little bit, and I think maybe if we like try to watch a basketball movie that is something that I have been missing for a while, because like you picked Uncle Drew, a basketball movie I'm missing from my repertoire is Love and Basketball.
Ah, me too.
So I think that would be a really good pick for us.
Let's do it.
All right.
I don't know really anything about this movie.
Let's get into it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Casey, you have any shows coming up?
No. That show I was talking about last time is not... Yeah. Was not this last weekend, but it would be if we get accepted to the thing, we submit it. So if we get accepted to the festival, it'll be the last weekend in May.
This Friday, May 15th, which is my birthday.
Ooh.
Upright Citizens Brigade has asked Baby Wants Candy to do a show.
Wow.
So we'll be on Zoom somewhere. So check your Upright Citizens listings.
Have you guys figured out how to do Zoom music stuff?
No, I have no idea how we're going to do this.
Ooh.
So whoever can crack the code of like perfect synchronization over Zoom will win this generation.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those zero late, or maybe we'll just have to make songs that like learn how to make music without rhythm.
Yeah, that's true. Tonal, like, ambient.
Tonal, ambient, rhythmic. Like, you know how at in the UCB music improv classes, they teach you the three people singing the same time trick?
Yes.
Yeah, just do that, but worry a little bit less about the tone or about the rhythm and just have three people singing at the same time. Because, like, you know, I'll bet it'll be just as understandable.
Well, also they tell you not to worry about rhyming, so why worry about rhythm?
Rhyming, rhythm, any words that have too many consonants and not enough vowels, just get them out of there.
Yeah. So yeah, check that show out. I don't know how that's going to happen, but come watch it, I guess.
There you go.
And watch Love and Basketball for our next episode.
That's right. Love and Basketball. Who's in Love and Basketball? It's Omar Epps.
Oh, Omar Epps. And who's the woman? Does she play basketball as well?
Sanaa Lathan. Yeah, they're both basketball players.
Cool. All right, Casey. It's great to catch up with this movie.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time.
Later.